Mike Anderson from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and you're listening to the Pro Hockey News Podcast.
Welcome in to another edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast, First Line Edition, brought to you by MyCustomSportsChair.com. Get your favorite sport logos on your favorite type of chair, MyCustomSportsChair.com. We are recording this on Thursday. So if you want a Toronto Maple Leafs logo, you probably don't want Sheldon Keefe to autograph it. But the biggest news, let's start with the biggest news of the day, guys. Have you guys heard the biggest news of the hockey world? No, yes, no,
probably not.
Go ahead. Brady Tkachuk, captain of Team USA for the World Championships. Is that not huge news?
Sure.
That's the biggest story of the day, right?
It's only because, I mean, listen, only because Larkin pulled out because of injury, but sure, that's great. Somebody had to do it. The World Championships, everybody really cares about, so it's good that we're leading the show with it.
Yeah, that's what we're leading. Yeah. That is the biggest news of the day. There's a minor story that hit earlier today. We actually had news before we recorded. Small story coming out of a small hockey market. I mean, Toronto, few people cover that. Sheldon Keefe. Keefe, is that how we do it?
We'll go Keefe.
He's no longer employed, but still highly paid. In fact, actually, he's not highly paid yet. He's 2 months away from being highly paid, Lonnie.
So the best job in sports, I think, or at least certainly the most lucrative, is to be a fired Toronto Maple Leafs head coach, because he is now the second that they have paid to go away, and his 3-year extension kicks in July 1. So the next 3 years, in some way, shape, or form, he is getting a paycheck from Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. How much of one, I suppose that's the language of the contract that we don't get to know about, but we'll certainly find out when it comes time, when he gets another job somewhere else.
Right.
And I have no doubt that he will, because he's a tremendous regular season head coach. We talk about why the playoffs haven't worked in a sec, but I'm not surprised that it happened, especially given all of the nonsense on the bench at the end of that series with Boston. It's just such a bad look for a team like that to just melt down in that way. However, it's the firing that didn't happen alongside it that I think is confusing.
So what's interesting is technically Brad Treliving, the current GM, did give him the contract, but I think it more was from the other guy we're about to talk about. We don't know how much the 2-year extension was, but he was making $1.975 supposedly in this current contract. So I'm guessing at least 2.25.
Yeah.
That he's due each year for the next 2 years, starting in July. So it's probably about a $5 million going away gift.
I'd take that.
Seriously. You want to pay me, $5 million to go away? Done.
is that all it would take for us to get rid of you, is $5 million?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tell Lou to start, get some more sponsors, and I am out of here.
I was going to say, let's ask Lou to open up that wallet, but you know, and see what we could do.
So let's assume 2.5. Let's just assume 2.5. In 2024-25, the Maple Leafs will pay over $6 million to coaches not coaching their team.
That's a lot of money to play.
Because they got the final year of the Babcock deal and the start of Keefe's 2-year deal.
It's a lot of money to pay for someone who's not impacting your club other than financially.
Yes. Yes. But you know who's still here? Brendan Shanahan is still here, going on 10 years and 1 month, with one playoff round victory to show in his tenure. And 3 GMs and 4 coaches.
One hell of a run.
I could probably do that for less.
He handpicked Lou Lamoriello to be his GM, who handpicked Babcock, to be his coach. Lamoriello then left on his own to go back to the island. Babcock got bye-bye'd. Dubas gets promoted. Dubas doesn't want to work with the team anymore. The coach that he hired in Keefe got extended right after he left, and now that coach is gone.
Is there, and I think like some of the names you've mentioned are like big names in hockey.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
Somewhat.
Is it this appeal that Shanahan thinks he has to go for the home run name because he's Toronto as opposed to going for the right name?
You have to go for a big name in Toronto, just like you have to go for a bilingual speaker in Montreal. That's what we've learned.
Yeah.
Like, don't speak French. Don't apply in Montreal. We've seen that story.
I mean, yeah. I mean, Montreal's that's been right, made abundantly clear over the years. I don't understand.
So let's go back. Let's go back before. I mean, Keith wasn't a big name.
No.
He was a big name locally. Like, he was known in the Toronto circles, but I wouldn't say he is a name. But you couldn't have brought in a Dave Hackstall to Toronto.
No.
Or a Quinn to Toronto. Because you kind of look at that time, what the Rangers were doing, what Seattle was like. You had to do what Vegas was doing. Vegas went after names, right? And Toronto, I think, like, that's the Toronto. You can't. I don't think you could bring in an up-and-coming coach to that Toronto fan base.
Well, isn't that what they did with Keith?
I was going to say they sort of did that, though.
But he was family.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
He's a known commodity within that organization, right?
Yeah.
And Dubas and him obviously had a long-time relationship from all reports. I mean, so the names coming out are going to be fascinating because you've got Tree Living, who has a very different background. Tree Living is a hockey guy, a longtime hockey guy. I worked in the league that Brady Tree Living ran for a number of years in the Central Hockey League, the AA Hockey League, and Lou knows that well, how I met Lou, you know, down in AA Hockey in the CHL. He was the president for a number of years before he went to Arizona as an AGM and then Calgary. And now across to Toronto. So he's got a different pedigree than the Ivy League look of and thought process of a Dubas had. He doesn't have the pedigree of old time hockey like Lamoriello had. So, I mean, this is three different types of GMs that Shanahan has had. So I give him credit there. He's changing it up a bit. But the one constant is Shanahan hasn't done jack since being named president, and he came in as the president. This wasn't a promotion, which I originally thought he was the GM. Looked that up. No, he came in from the league office in 14 as the president. Richard, yeah. I mean, what I think should have happened today, Keith should have been fired. Shanahan should have been fired. Keep Tree Living as GM. Don't have a president. Let somebody else run business operations. Let Tree Living run the hockey ops. And figure that out for a couple of years before you find a president.
I mean, do you think that? Do you think this was the stand that they needed to make with letting Keefe go? Even if, you know, if they got rid of Shanahan, did Keefe need to go with him?
Yeah, I think Shanahan and Keefe should have been a package bye-bye. Because, but the one thing you run, and the reason I don't bring in anybody to replace Shanahan is. Tree Living technically gave Keith the extension, but Tree Living didn't hire Keith. Shanahan hired Tree Living. If you replace Shanahan, now you have the guy that didn't hire the GM.
Right.
I mean, so you have this circle of crap.
and you're not, I don't care how, I mean, Tree Living's got a ton of experience. That's great. His first act as general manager of the most valuable hockey franchise in the league is giving extensions to Austin Matthews, to William Nylander, and to Sheldon Keefe. He isn't doing any of those without Shanahan's approval.
That's what, how much of that was his versus he was told that this is what has to be done.
I mean, especially with the player. I mean, I think all three of those contracts, frankly, because they are all, I mean, those are huge money contracts. Mm-hmm. And those contracts don't get done quickly, usually.
Right.
It's a level of negotiations that are taking place, especially for your in-house guys like this, that are taking place over a period of time. And so therefore they're not just doling those out quickly. I mean, Austin Matthews was signed in August. Nylander may have fully been him, because Nylander's wasn't actually signed until January of 24.
I think that was his first big move. I'm not sold he had a choice on the Keefe thing.
I'm not sold he did either. I mean, like the Bertuzzi contract also falls under him. 1 year, $5.5 million on the second day of the free agency window. Again, I don't think that's, I'm not 100% sure that's coming from him.
So should Shanahan have been fired today? Along with Keefe?
Oh, yeah.
So did Toronto solve any problem today?
No.
They solved part of a problem. And I think the thing that if you're tree living, that has to be really worrisome is that, first of all, if you're tree living, are you hiring the next coach or a Shanahan?
I'm assuming that
it's happening by committee. I wouldn't assume it's either one alone. And what that means is if this coach isn't successful, all three of them are gone. So Tree Living's tenure just got put on the clock also. If he could have started fresh this offseason with Shanahan gone and the coach gone and the accountants run business ops and he gets to run hockey ops and like the clock starts, but it starts fresh. Now he's coming into a situation where I think they're both on, Shanahan has put them both on the line.
Yep.
In a way that's different if he's the top of the pyramid as opposed to not being the fall guy, which I think is what ends up happening here.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Going back to your question, Adam, if Toronto solved any problems, I'm going to say absolutely not. The head coach, I don't think was necessarily the problem. You have, you know, the president of operations who's been through four head coaches, four different coaching styles throughout his career there. The next person he brings in, it doesn't really seem like it's going to matter much because you have one postseason series win since 2014?
Since 2004.
2004.
Oh, yeah.
This is rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because, okay, so now let's look ahead. The hire. So you have to hire a name. We're all assuming that. That is a retread, our favorite topic. You know, good job, Buffalo, really digging deep to fix your franchise going back to Lindy Ruff. I mean, so Berube's the name that's out there. Todd McClellan is out there. Jay Woodcroft is out there. Well, Berube has a cup, so probably jumps to the front of the list with Toronto fans. But I know he said he's one to work for Toronto. I had said that I don't know why Berube would take the Toronto job. I don't think it's the best job out there. I'm going to propose this. You're Craig Berube. He apparently pulled out of negotiations with Ottawa real quick. Never had much interest with or from Buffalo. But I'm going to lay out that I think Berube should end up in Jersey over Toronto. I think that that's a better situation for a head coach.
Really?
Yes.
How come?
Pressure is different. Mm-hmm. You can have a year to screw up or build something. I think the roster has a lot more flexibility of what you could do in the future. And I'm not... You've got some top players making $8 million there in Heischer and Hughes and Timo Meier. A middle six guy in Palat. I'm still a big fan of Eric Halla.
We have all of our stock still.
Yes.
Ready to cash in. Yes. You got it. All of it's there.
Yeah. Marino on the back end, Smith on the back end if they re-sign him. Young, I mean, Kevin Ball looks like he's up and coming on the left side.
Luke Hughes, of course.
Yep. And lots of choices in goal. You don't have a lot of money invested there. Kakanen's a free agent. Jake Allen's only 1 year away. You've got choices.
And you've got, I mean, if the trade deadline rumors carry through to this offseason, Jacob Markstrom at the top of the Devils' wish list I think that sounded like that was a deal that just ran out of time before the window closed in March to get done. So if they jump in with Markstrom, I think that's, I don't disagree. I think that's a way more appealing situation, and you get to be the third or fourth team in a four team New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia market.
Bingo.
You get to work under the radar. And I think between the top end talent and youth that they have compared to Toronto, also again, Toronto's draft pick situation over the next 2 years is bleak.
But and also I'm going to add this: you don't have to fight Florida, Boston, Tampa, Detroit for a playoff spot every year.
Nope.
You have to fight the Rangers in Carolina and then all the other teams in that division. Like there's two teams and then the other six in the Metro, I would argue.
Right. And we don't really know what Pittsburgh is, and we don't really know what Washington is. Those are, you know, three of the greatest players of this generation between those two teams. And they are aging. They are on the wrong side of 35.
What do you call them?
As are the three of us. But you know that's neither here nor there.
It's saying it's the wrong side. Whatever.
For a professional hockey player.
Yeah, fair.
Listen, father time is undefeated. Don't forget. I don't know, Richard. What do you think? That feels like. Jersey, I mean, make the case for Toronto.
You have a lot of established talent there. I think that's the only case. You have a lot of big names who will make big plays. And we talk about Toronto having to battle with Boston, Florida, Tampa to get into the playoffs there in the Atlantic. They've been doing it over the past few years. They've made the playoffs consistently. Whether they're able to get out of the first round has been the biggest issue. They did it once last year, but they're always constantly towards the top of the division. So, and it doesn't really seem to be who's steering the ship. As long as those pieces are in place, they're able to get the points to be able to get into those playoff spots in the Atlantic.
So do you feel the current Toronto roster is a Stanley Cup contender?
No. I don't think it is.
Okay. What can you do to that roster to make it a Stanley Cup contender? Considering Lonnie, how invested are they in forwards?
It's not just how invested are they in forwards, which they are to the tune of 71.5% of their salary cap. It's that their top four next season will take up roughly $50 million.
And to give you perspective, because Lonnie and I went down the rat hole and actually did research, Richard, you take a look at Florida, Boston, the Rangers, Vegas has the same problem. So take Vegas out of there. Dallas. So we figured top teams, right? Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
We can deep teams. And then we even looked at Edmonton thinking that they were going to be an outlier. No. So Edmonton, Florida, Dallas, Rangers, Carolina are all between 58 and 61% invested in forwards of cap space. Vegas and Toronto are both at 70 plus.
Yeah.
I thought was fascinating. Like Vegas and Toronto, so similar in their issues.
I mean, it is a major issue, but you know, there might be a little bit less of an issue this offseason if rumors are true that Mitch Marner might not be around it with the Maple Leafs next year.
Okay. So 10.9 million.
Yeah.
Somebody has to see, you're going to have to retain 5 million of that.
Right.
Five and a half million of that.
A little less of a problem. You could get a decent player for 5 million.
You can get a middle six for five.
Yeah.
And then you got Tavares coming off the year after. But this is the problem to me. You have to find a trade partner in Marner. Have to, mm-hmm. which I think yeah. it changes scenery is about. Like, he's one of those guys, I think, like, hey, Blackhawks, jump right on it, please. Get that number two pick. Get Marner there. Lovely. Take half the contract. So you got to find a trade. And then you're not going to re-sign Tavares. So you're going to have, you know, your captain goes at 34, which conceivably could happen. That is 2 years into next coach's reign, which probably is going to be a three-year deal, I would think, to mm-hmm. start. Once again, taking away 5 million, 6 million for next year, what are you doing to that roster with that $6 million? Oh, and by the way, you're losing Bertuzzi and Domi and TJ Brody and Joel Edmondson.
You're putting all that towards...
And Joseph Woll is your starting goaltender.
That's true, because, yeah, Samsonov has got... I don't know if Martin Jones is really a big...
No. Release no. There, if but, Martin Jones is the answer, let's not ask the question.
Exactly. Stop. I mean, there's another...
Stole my line for me. Thank you.
Yes. There's another three-quarter million there. Then you're going to say Aaron...
If you're a former San Jose goalie, it's not the answer.
Exactly. No, Joseph Woll, not the answer. Toronto. Yeah.
Their roster construction, I don't think a coach in the next 2 years takes them to the promised land. So if you're Craig Berube, you're going to be on your third job. You're coming off a mid-year firing when your honeymoon was over from winning a cup. If you want to not continue in media, and by the way, holy crap, was he good on the Turner desk the other night. Just awesome. If you're him and you want to succeed, do you see more than 3 years, Lonnie, from him?
No.
Richard?
No. And no, I don't. I just don't see any way. And I think that's because it's so unbalanced. This team is so unbalanced. It's so pot committed in terms of cash and assets on premium or allegedly premium talent. And I don't see any way without a blow up or at least a significantly competitive rebuild that they can be, that whomever it is that gets the job can be successful next season. I don't see it.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think Berube's success would be, I think, is a longer term lifespan in Jersey.
Oh yeah, 100%. But my only case for Toronto was they make the playoffs no matter what in that division, even if they are competing.
But but making the playoffs doesn't save your job.
They've made the playoffs plenty.
Absolutely.
So are you saying that this current roster, coached by Craig Berube, would have won around? That it was. Are you saying Sheldon Keefe was the problem?
I'm not saying Sheldon Keefe was the problem. I'm making the case of something that would draw you to Toronto, which would be you're going to make the playoffs with this talent. I'm not saying you're going to have a long life with Toronto, but that's the case. It's not going to be the case necessarily in New Jersey, as we saw. You know, their current team right now wasn't able to keep up with the rest of the Metro. Maybe with a new coach they would, but I mean, Toronto seems safer to have a chance at postseason success than New Jersey. But that's the only draw. I do see him going to New Jersey.
Yeah. If I'm his agent and I'm his brain trust, I'm saying go after that Jersey job. Leave Toronto alone. Yeah.
So the one commentary on Vegas, as you brought them up, and I think I sort of missed this when we were talking about this earlier, Adam, is that the numbers don't add up to 100%, in part because guys like, Mark Stone, who spent most of the season on, long-term injury reserve now shows up. So obviously the percentages add up to more than way more than 100%.
Yeah, I get it.
Because but still, right, it's still you're talking about like an overall cash spend. They still, you know, Vegas also used a lot of cash and a lot of draft assets over the course of the next 3 years to try to keep this, you know, window pried open. And like, they've been dinged up by health. They tried to play the Tampa salary cap skirting move with guys on long-term injured reserve and just miraculously are able to play come playoff time. But they've also pushed their chips in, and you know, the roster, I mean, yep. I think it's proof that roster construction matters, like being thoughtful and not just playing fantasy hockey superstar grab makes a difference.
So let's quickly go over, cause we're not going to beat the whole episode here, but let's go over some names from different sources or different writers out there that are pretty tapped in. Right. So we talked about Berube, Gerard Gallant. He's old.
Yeah.
But he's a name. A wish list of Rod Brindamore. He's not leaving Carolina, guys. Let's stop. No. Just stop it. The name Todd McClellan, who has ties to Shanahan. John Gruden, who apparently, you know, after the Raiders stint, not good. So maybe try hockey. John Gruden, the former, he's the current Toronto Marlies head coach, used to be with Jersey. So that would be the lesser of the names, if you will. But once again, familiar because he's with the Marlies, but is the Marlies coach the coach that takes the NHL team with this one? Boudreaux, why at 69 would he come out of retirement? Like, just enjoy life. Enjoy life, Bruce. Up and comer list would be David Carl. He's at the University of Denver. Dan Bylsma, who's Coachella Valley's head coach. I think that's a fascinating name, by the way. Jay Woodcroft, which we've talked about. Dean Evason. And then, I mean, Mike Sullivan, which is just kind of funny with it itself. I mean, that'd be ironic, right? Like Sullivan leaving Pittsburgh to go to traded to Toronto. So,
yeah. And then Dubas can hire Keefe.
Yeah. I mean, the Bylsma name is really interesting to me. That's a guy that knows personalities. Gallant seems like, that'd be such a Toronto hire, a 61-year-old retread, but he's got a name and so much experience. But I could so see him picking Tom McClellan. Like, I don't know why, but for some reason that just, it seems like what they do.
Yeah.
I like Bylsma there. Now, I think Berube's probably the best coach on that list.
Yeah.
Berube, I think so too. I don't want Berube to go there, but like number two, like I think Bylsma's fascinating for Toronto.
I do too. Here's the question though, is that he's with the Kraken organization. Kraken are looking for a head coach. I don't know if they let him take that job or if they want to promote him to the,
they better act fast.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want a guy, you better act fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I throw a name out there that the league needs back in? It's not going to happen, but just ultimate wish list. Barry Trotz. We need him back.
He's happy consulting.
I know he's happy, but we need him back. I mean, would not the lure of, you know, fixing what's wrong in Toronto, you know, one of the NHL's most storied franchises, be enough to lure him away from consulting? No, it won't.
He is Nashville through and through. That guy, I think he is finishing his career there in whatever role he's.
Look, he got his cup.
Yep.
And now it's Now it's time to just sort of coast. He's earned it.
Yep.
He's chilling. I will preface this by saying you may have talked about it. My internet did freeze for a moment. Rod Brind'Amour, did you mention his name?
He's not leaving Carolina. He's not.
I don't think he's leaving Carolina either. He's another guy who's there's because of Ron Francis's link to Seattle.
Yeah. We'll see. I don't think he leaves Carolina. I think he's so entrenched there. That whole leak coming out in the playoffs, I thought was very interesting. There was obviously a reason for that, but you listen to a lot of the insiders and they think it's a money thing that they're going to work out.
I wouldn't be surprised, but I mean, yeah. I wouldn't leave him out of, I mean, he's a coach who's about to be out of contract in less than 2 months. I wouldn't not mention him because of that.
I get it. Who's the next coach, guys? What's your prediction?
I'm going to say Berube.
I'm going to have to go with you and say McClellan. I don't know. Yeah, misery loves company, I guess.
I think it's going to be Berube. It should be Bielsma, but I could totally see McClellan. There's my hedging. Did it all.
Boy, that's more hedging than usual. Jeez.
Yeah.
If you want to trim the hedges, use Manscaped.
There it is.
Manscaped.com. BHN20 is the code. You can trim your hedges. Manscaped. It's the best out there. Doesn't hurt you. Makes you feel smooth. Keep everything between the hedges, like in Athens, Georgia. Manscaped.com. BHN20 is the code.
That was one of your better ones.
I wasn't even going there until somebody mentioned hedges, and that just set me up, so I went with it.
That's good.
Had to. That was as good a segue as we've led you into in a while.
So playoffs are happening. The big news coming out going into the weekend, Frederik Andersen out, Kuchikov in for Carolina in net. He hasn't played since April 14th versus the American Hockey League's Chicago Blackhawks. Been a long time since he's playing an NHL team, and he's getting thrust into a playoff game down 2-0 to a really, really good team.
Yeah, they're not bad. Feels oddly panicky. Like, I'm not sure I get too worked up over dropping the first two games at the President's Cup winners. Like, take it easy.
To me, it feels like you've lost two games. You have a goalie that was pretty good in the regular season. He played, almost half the year. Okay, we lost two. It's time to make a change. This is change for the sake of change.
Yeah.
Not saying it's the wrong move, but once again, not like it's Freddie Andersen. It's not Shesterkin.
No, look, I totally agree. I just feels, I don't know. I mean, again, you look at the way the teams are built, like, yeah, I don't think it's fairly predictable that this, this is the shortcoming as well as Anderson's played this year. Like, this is Carolina's shortcoming.
And I mean, here's the thing. It always has been.
Yes.
I mean, they rolled with Curtis McElhinney. Antti Raanta.
He wasn't bad.
It's not Swayman. It's not Shesterkin. It's not Bob. I'd say Demko, but he's hurt. Like, I mean, the names I'm throwing out there, I mean, the Rangers backup scares me more than either of Carolina's goalies.
That's true.
Yeah. They got a good 1-2 punch.
Yeah. Jonathan Quick. Okay. I mean,
that's pretty good.
Could argue they're the best 1-2 punch. Just depends on if you, I mean, Boston, New York, right up there with 1-2 punches.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Just way better hugs in Boston.
Oh yeah. Yes. 100%.
Yeah. So that's really the big news. I mean, Oilers choked last night, Colorado with a big comeback.
Oh yeah.
So wait a second. Let me ask you this. The Oilers choked, but Dallas didn't.
Yes.
No, they both choked.
It was different. So here's to me where it was different. Colorado looked like they were coming the whole time. Vancouver looked like they had nothing to me. Like I didn't like Vancouver's game at all. And then it like Edmonton just stopped putting the pressure down. Draisaitl going out I think that hurt a bit. Their power play didn't look good.
Yeah.
Which is the calling card.
I agree with you, Adam, that that the Edmonton situation is more of a choke than Dallas. Dallas just finished a long 7-game stretch. Yep. The Canucks went 6 games. Oilers were pretty free and easy in their first round. And to be well rested against the Canucks, who had played quite a bit more, lose by 1. And then Dallas giving up 3. Dallas was just tired.
Yeah, Andre had to work for saves, and he usually makes it look casual.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely looked less at ease than he usually does.
Yeah, I mean, you can classify it as a choke, but to me, Edmonton looked like they choked it away more than... I mean, Dallas wasn't playing not to lose.
Right.
Edmonton all of a sudden started playing... Like, they couldn't get anything on their power play. Skinner did not look sure of himself at all in that third period. I mean, it was painful to watch. I think Florida did in game 2 what we expected in game 1. I mean, everybody thought Boston was going to be tired, and then they just got their show run.
Mm-hmm. Florida had too much rest.
Yeah. Yep. They fixed it. And then the Rangers Carolina series hasn't started yet because the road team hasn't won. So, I mean, that's kind of where we're at in the playoffs. So,
yeah.
That's really, like I said, it's early in the second round. We don't have a lot of big news on the ice, except, we got a goalie change and we'll see what happens in Boston. Will Ullmark get back in? But we do have Utah news. Mm-hmm. We have a 20 teams potentially that you get to vote on. Apparently, Utah's really good with the survey software stuff. I mean, apparently they know how to use the internet to do surveys. Go figure. I'll let you guess the company that's running the online survey for the Smith Entertainment Group.
Yep.
Run them down, guys. I want your top 4. Blast, Mountaineers, Hive, Black Diamonds, Swarm, Squall, Powder, Venom, Blizzard, Caribou, HC, Glaciers, Yeti, Fury, Mammoth, Outlaws, Canyons, Ice, Freeze, Frost. And they are literally no particular order on the screen.
No.
Which is good, because I think people typically, it makes people read through all of them.
Yes.
And this is the second time I've looked at it. Different browsers too. It jumbles the order every time.
Almost like the software is really smart from a company that knows what they're weird.
I know it's weird. It's weird. So I have voted already.
You okay. have voted already.
I have voted already, and I'm not sure I can remember what. I think I know. I think I voted for Canyons, the Hive, the Black Diamonds. And I don't remember what my 4th pick was.
Black Diamonds is awful. Yeah. It's awful. It's awful.
I'll give you mine. I haven't voted yet. I'll give you my 4. I like the name. Not necessarily it's great with Utah. The Mountaineers, because that's currently the team I play for. And I just like the name. I'm okay with Hockey Club, Utah Hockey Club. I'm fine with it. I'd vote for that one. Caribou. Yeah, I'll take it.
Really, really good coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be interesting to have a team named after a substance. So I'd go with Venom.
Okay. I've got Mountaineers, Blizzard, Fury, Freeze.
You were all about Yeti last time.
No, well, Yeti only to, I don't love it as a name, but first of all, it is grammatically incorrect, so that bugs me. The plural of Yeti is Yetis, so it should be the Utah Yetis.
Unless they're a singular Yeti.
But you no. can't be in
spring. That's the mascot. The mascot can be the Yeti for
right. Yes,
for a lot of them.
But yeah, the Yeti name just to piss off Colorado because it would be a great rivalry out of the gate. That's the only reason why I want that. But Colorado's kind of Yeti like, so let them keep that. I really want the Blizzard. I think the Z tie into the Jazz is the way to go.
Oh, that's. I like that.
I think both teams with a double Z could be really good.
I think it's nice. That's like a sky avalanche, right?
The Blizzard is a sky. Yeah, I guess. It's a lot of snow.
It is, yeah.
Which lands on a mountain, which can create it. I mean, you're going to have, I mean, the Mountaineers could be the cool. I think the Mountaineers could be the coolest logo.
It could.
But I want the Blizzard. I think it'd be a cool tie-in with the Jazz and really create synergy in that market.
Yeah.
That's my take.
Like Pittsburgh always going black and gold?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I think it's great that every team in that market has the same color. I think it's cool.
It is.
I do. Blizzard would be one. Mountaineers two. Freeze because there's a Z in there three.
A lot of singular.
Yes, almost all of them.
Yeah.
More than half of them are singular.
Yeah.
Which I think Utah, like, I think it flows because it's Utah. It's a short, quick.
Yep.
And I think you're so used to hearing Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
I think that's, I think there's a mental thing to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, okay. We'll see. Yeah, that's
yeah. Voting is open until I was the 22nd, I believe, right?
The 22nd, I believe. Yep. Yes.
Yes.
So get your votes in now. I don't know how they're going to pare it down, and
I don't either.
Other people do it. But.
I will say this: I am really impressed that they're going generic Utah this year. And like really taking the time to, you get one shot at it, you know, to pick a nickname. I think it's the right way to do it.
I wonder how much of it is because I really like to know some of the back dealings with jersey stuff and making and trademark law. Like I wonder if I mean, it's the same thing we saw with the PWHL, perfect segue, of having to keep a name in simple jerseys and all that. And PHL, by the way, announced next year they're going Bauer. So that's going to be the jersey manufacturer. Hoping they're not going to use the Fanatics factories that the MLB is using, because that could be a problem.
Yeah.
Disastrous.
Yeah, but so, I mean, you know, they've got a jersey manufacturer now, so I'm assuming we're going to see some more identity and different jerseys now for PWHL next year. So I wonder how much of it is, like, did the jersey manufacturing league tell Utah, hey, can we get a year?
That's entirely possible. That would make sense, honestly.
So I'm going to be calling them the Hockeyers next year. That's what I've decided, the Utah Hockeyers.
You do that.
That's my name for them next year.
Okay.
Fantastic. Utah HC, Richard, to me, that just seems too forced. It's too kitschy, soccery. Like, it's just like in the States, you have SCs and FCs, and we can't decide, do we want to Americanize if we want to Europeanize the soccer club's name? Called it a club, Lonnie. See? Soccer
you
club.
You did. Good work. Yeah. I'm impressed.
Yep. Yep.
What else would you call it?
Well, no, but the team, organization, you know, like what normal people
it's
call
club
it.
It's club because it actually, it goes back to the roots of how it was actually a club that you bought a membership to.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You still buy memberships to them.
You still do. I don't.
I got friends that for the city soccer club, they're buying memberships. All right.
I'm buying season tickets for mine. I'm just
different membership.
Yes.
You just don't get the equity. Yeah. So to me, it's like, okay, like, yeah, we can't even figure out FC or SC in this country. So we don't need HC. There was one football team that I would have supported just remaining in the football team.
I was fully supportive of just staying as WFT.
Yeah. But Utah needs a name. There's a lot of good names on the list.
And that's why I was okay with hockey club. If you're going to have if you're going to allow Washington to be the football team for, several seasons there, let Utah be the hockey club for as long as it takes to pick an actual name.
But Washington deserved just being the football team for so many reasons.
I mean,
Washington deserved nothing.
Exactly.
And they got
Yes. I mean, they and frankly, they deserve all the scorn they get for everything for eternity. But that's, again, different podcast.
Yep. So we'll see. We'll see. Is Mountaineers the only one all four of us have in common on the list, I believe?
Did Lonnie have that one?
I think that might have been my fourth.
Okay. So Mountaineers is the only one we had in common.
Yeah. It's a good one. Look, it's good. It I think there becomes a slight logo problem because of the logo in Richard's backyard or over his shoulder, which is the mountain the mountaintop at the top of the A in the Avalanche logo. You do lots of things with it still, but there's, unless you want to have crusty looking West Virginian like the university has there.
So Rich, big question for you.
Yep.
If they're the Mountaineers, this could be a major problem for your beer league team.
No, because our logo is way cooler.
Can you guys carry the name of the biggest rival of, I'm guessing most of the players on that team are fans of the Avalanche?
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, because for the first few years, we're not even going to think twice about Utah, the former Arizona Coyotes. It's not going to matter.
You know what the best part is? None of the names seem like they will incorporate a Cochino look to them.
Maybe they should do that with the Mountaineers.
Utah will be, next year's jersey will be the most improved jersey year over year in the entire league.
Disagree.
Technically it will be because it came from nothing.
Well, compared to what those players compared to what they wore the year before.
Oh, yeah, that was perfection. But I know I'm outvoted on this, but
go to the second line for that crap.
Yeah.
Those uneducated Jersey folk.
Seriously.
Yeah.
What are we even doing here?
It's a great question.
All right.
It's a great question. We're doing picks. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
I miss anything? You guys got anything on your mind?
No. Not at all.
Nope. I was just waiting for the cue, and I never got the it's that time. So I was just waiting
time.
For it.
It's that
I
time.
It's
less dramatic because you can't screw up the picks. Like we can't give you crap for the games you selected.
Because there are the only five this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. it's less fun when we can't give you crap.
I like this time of year. And not only because I'm beating you by about four picks right now, but that's neither here nor there. Yes, it is time for our PHN picks of the week. Last week we had six picks. Adam going 4-2, getting back above 500 after letting himself slide just a bit the week before. I went 5-1. Lonnie, 3-3. I am leading Adam by about, four picks right now. So let's dive in.
Exactly four picks.
Exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Exactly four. Let's dive into our five picks of the week. We're going to start off with the PWHL Boston at Minnesota playoff. All around. Adam, who you got?
Wait. Boston's at Montreal.
I was just about to say, I don't believe Minnesota is factoring into that series, but I could be wrong.
I mistyped. So, Boston at Montreal. Adam, who you got?
You know, that's a great question. Because of how it went so swimmingly in Toronto. I'm going to go home team. I'm going to go Montreal.
Go Montreal. Okay. Lonnie.
I'm going to go Montreal also.
I
I got a feeling about Boston right now. I'm going to go with them.
By the way, are we disappointed Toronto just went chalk with their pick and didn't mix it up a little bit and pick Boston, technically the third team?
Yeah, I wish that there were some rules. I'll talk about this in a minute.
They were tied for points, but I mean, the goal difference, like, you could have argued Boston with a minus goal differential could have been a team that you would have rather played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are a couple of things I wish could have played out this season, but, you know, I'll chat about that in a bit.
Okay.
Game number two, going to the NHL. We have the New York Rangers at the Carolina Hurricanes. Lonnie, who you got?
All right. And this is.
Yeah. What game? What are we picking? We picking Saturday?
We're picking Saturday.
It's all Saturday because there's two games Saturday, two games Sunday.
Okay, so these are Saturday, Sunday.
So we are picking game four situations here.
Yes.
Yes.
No, not for all of them.
No, that's true, not for all of them.
West will be three, right?
Yep, that's true.
Yes.
East will be four, West will be three in these situations that we're discussing.
Oof. All right. I'm going to take the Rangers.
All right, Adam?
I'm going to go Carolina staving off the sweep.
You don't think they're going to do it tonight?
Oh.
Or tomorrow night?
No.
No, tonight.
I think New York is that good.
Thursday
night.
New York
is that, yeah, Thursday. Thursday night. Yeah. New York is that good.
Okay. I'm going to go with the Rangers as well. I actually think this is going to be a sweep. So Rangers in four for me. All right. Game number three, we have the Dallas Stars coming to Colorado for game number three. Adam, who you got?
Can I rant for 1 second?
No.
Sure.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
It's Saturday. Why are we starting at 9:30 Eastern on this game? It involves a central team. We could do better on Saturday.
Guess it's a nice time for us.
Just don't need it. One of them should be play this one before the, if you want New York in primetime, I get play this one before. This should be the lead in. Start at like 4:30 Eastern. That being said, I think Colorado bounces back and takes a 3-1 lead.
Wait, what?
No, it's game three, Adam.
Oh, yeah, it's game three.
Oh, that's right. Ooh, Oh, that's right. Mm. Game three. Because game two is tonight. They need a 2-1 lead. Right. Yeah. They're going to take a 2-1 lead. Sorry.
Okay. Lonnie?
Let's go with that.
There's so, you have so much stuff you have to game out now in your head. I'm going to take Dallas.
Okay.
For a 2-1 lead or deficit?
I don't know. Doesn't matter. I'm taking Dallas. I'm not playing along with your silly games, Adam.
Most don't.
That's very true.
You know, I don't. Yeah, I'm going to go Colorado. I kind of have to, but I don't feel great about it. Dallas is sneaky right now, and I'm not in the best position to make a good decision on that game. But I'll take Colorado in that one. Colorado's going to take the lead in the series 2-1. I think they're losing tomorrow night or tonight. All right. Game number four, we have Florida at Boston. Lonnie, who you got?
Florida. When in doubt, Adam? Just better team.
Adam?
Yeah, I don't see this being a long series. I think last night is the tone of the series. Really, Florida. I mean, I cannot wait for Florida, New York. That's the two most exciting series I was looking forward to. Florida, New York, Dallas, Colorado. When the playoffs started, those are the two series I was looking to. One of them we're getting now. One of them I think we get in a week.
Okay. I'm taking Florida as well. Unless Swayman or Olmark can figure out the offensive power of Florida moving forward, it's going to be a pretty short series. All right, last one. Vancouver at the Edmonton Oilers. Adam, who you got?
I am going to go with Edmonton moving to a 2-1 series lead.
Lonnie?
This series would be so different if Demko was healthy.
I know. Yeah, I'm going to go with Edmonton here.
I'm kind of disappointed that Demko's not healthy for this one.
I know.
You know, Vancouver's been playing all right without him. And I'm going to take Vancouver in this one. I have little reason to doubt their ability against Edmonton.
But they've been playing all right. I mean, they were playing an inferior team.
Yeah, but with their third string goalie in net, they still, you know, moved on to the next round.
Nashville doesn't score. You don't need a goalie.
All right. Well, fair. Those are our picks of the week. If you want to follow us on Twitter or X or whatever the kids are calling it these days, you can follow us at PHN Podcast. And if you want to use the hashtag PHN Picks, you can submit your picks to compare with ours.
Lonnie, by the way, that's 3 weeks in a row you weren't under 500.
I know.
And
I know. It's still
like four out of the last five for you. I mean, since you went, you know, like 0-7 at the All-Star game, you've been respectable in the post All-Star break.
Yeah. Really, it's the All-Star game that's really hampering me here.
Just yes.
The stench of those picks.
Yes.
Yeah, mailed it in just like Kucherov did that night.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the 0-5 week to start the season didn't help you.
No.
Followed up by a 1-4.
No. Very likely the only way up, you know, is to improve at that point.
Yeah. If you take out the 1-16 you did for those 3 weeks, you're phenomenal this year.
I'm on fire.
Yeah. I mean, you're well above 500 if you take out those 16 losses in 3 weeks.
Just brutal. Mike.
Richard, I feel you're going to close with the PWHL thought.
I am going to close out with the PWHL thought.
Thought away.
I am a little disappointed that we didn't get to see the gold rule go into effect this year, because really only one team was eliminated from playoff contention before the season was over. So we did. The number one pick going to New York. Sad we didn't get to see that. And also, you know, sad that we didn't see any shuffling around with the playoffs, you know, utilizing that pick from the number one seed to make the best decision, or at least best decision I think could have been made. But, you know, I'm glad those rules are in place. I'm excited to see the day when they actually, you know, come into effect and see how they impact the game and see how that's going to change other leagues as they think about how do we change up the draft order? How do we change up the playoff format? You know, this is a very good roadmap, and I would just love to see how it, you know, goes into effect.
You could argue, though, that it did work because New York did win two of their last three games.
Absolutely. I mean,
they got 6 out of 9 points in the eliminate. I mean, they made sure they were going to get the number one pick.
Yeah, they absolutely, you know, they did what they were supposed to under the rule, but it didn't really end up mattering at the end. So, yeah.
Correct.
I want to see that being the deciding factor rather than, you know, incentive.
So but you would rather see multiple teams suck instead of a really up to the last minute playoff race.
Just because I would be interested to see how it plays out with two teams battling for that number one spot.
So your hope for the PHL is top four teams secure a playoff spot early, and then the bottom two are playing for the number
one. Duking it out. At least for one season. At least for one season.
Got it. Okay.
I think we're going to really need to wait until there's expansion.
Yeah, exactly. It's tough with 16.
It's tough when it's only two, you know, the odd two out. That's not going to work. But when you get up to eight teams and half in, half out, then it gets spicy. Then we'll have fun with it. But until then, it's a little tough.
It is tough.
And I still think Toronto made a bad choice picking Minnesota.
Let's hope we make them pay.
I think Boston would have been a better choice because they can't score and they give up a lot of goals. But that's
other than that, they're great.
They're great. Yeah. Lonnie.
So speaking of drafts, we did not discuss the NHL draft lottery
because it was boring.
It sucked. It's chalk 1 through 16. It is proof that this format doesn't work. it rewards tanking. 2 years in a row, there was absolutely no movement. I don't believe there was any movement last year.
No, the Hawks were two last year, weren't they?
I don't
Really?
There is no way there was anybody that could have been worse than Chicago.
No, I am right. I am 100% right. The Hawks were not worse. They were third worst.
It was rigged for Chicago. Right. It was rigged for Chicago to get the first pick.
Good. My final thought's going to apply because you almost blew it up with your unfactual statement.
This doesn't
do some research. I mean,
right. But like Chicago is absolutely tanking for that pick, and the fluke win against Pittsburgh changed that fluke game that changed everything two years ago. There's got to be something. I don't know what it is, but like I think they tinkered with it the wrong way the last time they made the change. I think we've seen the NBA play with how they do it over time, and that they've got to do something, but like tanking continues to get rewarded, and it's totally unenjoyable hockey for the vast majority of the season.
So my thoughts on the draft, I actually give the NHL kudos this year. They rigged it very well to get people off the scent that they rigged the draft by letting it just be chalk. After what happened, you know, the Edmonton stuff that changed it. If they would have rigged it for Chicago like they did last year, people would have put up an arm. So I think they were really smart in rigging it this time to be chalk. So now the conspiracy theory goes away for a year, and they can cook it up in the lab for next year when teams try to figure out who's going to tank. So I actually think it was good they did chalk because they get the conspiracy theorists off the way that they chalked it out this year. So I give them credit. They're not usually always great in marketing. Gary and his boys, they planned it real well this year. And then releasing, with Ernst & Young supposedly there, that they actually, like, the first three times it was picked, it was actually San Jose. And he said it's the first time they've ever had to go to a redraw for number two because San Jose won three times. So, I mean, very, very good theatrics this year.
It's like they're giving us way too much detail to throw us off the scent.
See, and I'm telling you, I figured
out herring.
They did what they do every year. Everybody just thinks they didn't do anything with the chalk. So kudos to the NHL for getting ahead of conspiracy theories this year by doing it this way. Playoffs are going on right now in all the levels of hockey from top to bottom, men's and women's. Enjoy it. Richard Cote, Lonnie Goldsmith, Adam Minnick. Thanks to MyCustomSportsHair.com, our friends at FOCO, Chicago Wool Store, and of course, Manscaped. So long. This has been another edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast.